This is the Mile High Five podcast with Carl Jensen and Doug Cunnington. We have authentic conversations about the journey to Phi, health, happiness, and some very odd tangents. We interview Phi experts, side hustlers, people on their way to Phi, and those who have reached the other side. Join us every week, and if you want the show notes and links and all that other stuff, head over to milehighfi.com.
Goodbye, world. Welcome to the Mile High Phi podcast. I'm Carl Jensen with my co-host.
I'm Doug Cunnington.
Doug, so this is a crazy episode. I don't even know where to begin, but this may or not be the end. Doug, I've got to make some changes in my life. They're all good. Life is good, but we've just been so damn busy. One of the things I keep coming back to in my life is this house that I'm sitting in. We bought this sucker 5 years ago, and I'm still working on this fucking remodel, and it's getting pretty damn old, and I want to finish it up. One other thing that adds to the urgency a little bit is I think we're probably going to sell this thing in the next 18 months. So I had a bunch of little straggler projects on it, like a bunch of random things to tie up, and it's almost done. I probably have 200 or 300 more hours of work. But now there's a new urgency to get this stuff done. So Doug, yeah, I don't know. I think I kind of have to leave the podcast at least temporarily. I don't know if there's a way forward. We'll talk about that. That is where I am at right now. I can get more to my details, but I'll stop there. Do you have any comments, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And you just sent me the notes just before the meeting. I didn't even know you were going to quit. No, I'm just kidding. You sent me a text, though. You sent me a text a couple of days ago, and it was like, hey, man, we need to talk. So we thought, hey, what better way to do it than record it and share it? But I think it's good because there is a theme. And in fact, when we see people at events, maybe like at a campfire or economy, they reference like how busy you are. So it's like a inside joke among listeners that you're busy and you're working on the house and you're like, oh man, I got to finish this stuff. So certainly something had to change. Sorry, it's the show, but we'll dig into some of the details. Now, one thing I was surprised about was the timeline. So can you, and it's okay if you can't share here, but can you elaborate on the timeline? You're like, oh, you're going to sell the house potentially. Well, you're going to live somewhere, right? So you're going to move. So what accelerated the timeline there?
I guess it wasn't anything specific. Our older kid is about to go away to school. That'll be next year. So there's only going to be three of us in this house. It's quite a large house. Our younger kid could not care less about living here. The other thing is selling this and moving on would allow us to do some other things. And that main thing is buying a house up in the mountains. This summer here was brutal. The heat is so hard for me to take. I sleep horribly for long periods of time, no matter what I do. It just, it's been miserable here. So I really would like to have that thing up in the mountains and spend a lot of time up there in the summer. And selling this and downsizing to our rental house would allow us to do that more easily. So we'd have one more summer in this house, and then we could move on from this and be in a more comfortable situation. Such a first world problem. I feel like an idiot even for saying that, but man, my sleep just gets wrecked in the summertime. And it is not just the sleep part. It's just, living in this heat, it's misery for me. Mm.
I can relate. I mean, I moved from Georgia all the way to Bozeman, Montana before ending up here. And it's pretty cold in Bozeman. So it was great. It was great living there. It warms up in the summer, but it's only for a few weeks. So the plan will be, you know, you'll sell the house that you're currently living in. And in fact, some listeners that pass through town, they have come to parties and stuff at that house. So, but you're going to move to the rental, which is just down the street.
That is correct.
And then you're going to buy a house in the mountains, which we have talked about before, some secret location, the 1500 days compound deep in the mountains, somewhere where it'll be much cooler. That's the plan.
Yeah, it'll be up at altitude and a more comfortable place to be. And we'll probably, like after our youngest one is out of the house, we'll probably spend maybe half of our time up there. Winters are great up there too. I like to snowboard. So there's something for every season up there.
Okay, perfect. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, well, let's get into, you know, some of the other details in the notes. You have a full schedule. So when people hear, oh, it's busy, and you know, we tease on the show, but you truly are busy. Like you're a father, you have a lot of other stuff going on, you have these various projects. So why don't you talk about where you spend some of your time so people actually understand and they see I'm not just teasing you.
Yeah, like I said, we still have a lot to do on this current house. We thought initially it would take us about 2 years to do, and here we are 5 years into it, and we're still working on it. I would say COVID probably set us back at least 6 months, maybe a little bit longer. Not only could I not do the work because of supply stuff, but I had to homeschool the kids at that time. Mindy had a job, so I had to stop everything I was doing and focus on that. And that was like 6 months after we bought this thing, so we were right in the middle of all these projects, and then it all had to stop. We also had a lot of scope creep. We did some things to this house, like build a pergola, build a little bit fancier of a deck, and do some other stuff that we had not initially planned on doing. Yeah, and then we bought the rental house. I don't regret that because we'll move into it. We love the location of it. It's next to friends. It backs up to open space, but we had to rehab that as well. So that set us back at least 6 months. And still takes up my time to this day. I spent a day last week getting wasps out of the wall. They had infiltrated the house, and there are wasps in the house. Not great for your Airbnb review. Yeah. One other thing is our kids, I'll back up a second. We have this open enrollment thing here in Colorado, and we have a high school like a quarter of a mile away from us, and the kids are like, no, I want to go to this other school. And we left them, and I'm not sure if that was such a great idea. It's 10 miles away, and once you drive there, sit at a drive line and drive back. Sometimes it's an hour ordeal times two, and that's diminished a little bit because our older one can drive sometimes, but not all the time.
I'll jump in real quick. So the open enrollment means students can choose what school they want to go to as long as it's in the district or whatever?
Yep. It might be anywhere in the state. So, of course, they picked the farthest one away. And I think it's a good fit for them, especially the older one. But it's probably a huge drain on our life, really. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you know, we didn't do that. I think it seems like it's relatively, like, not that common because not everyone, because she can't take a bus, right? Like, that's the point. And she could have walked to the other school.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Cause like when we grew up back in the old days, right? It's like you hopped on the bus and then that was a whole ordeal or whatever. But it's like your parents worked. They couldn't fucking drive you to the school down the road or whatever. Like you had to hop on the bus and do that. But I guess like just there's a ton of people that just drive their kids to school every day.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that. That is probably one of the negative things about FI, because if I wasn't financially independent, I would have had a job, and then I would have been like, oh, no, you have to go to the school right here, because we don't have time to spend 2 hours in the car every day driving back and forth. But such is life. Maybe it'll work out better for them in the long run. I think there are some other negative consequences to it, but you don't want to hear all about schools, I'm sure. So, and that has nothing to do with this conversation.
Yeah.
So, same thing with us in the Midwest. If you wanted to go to a different school, you moved, like you lived in a certain area, but here in Colorado, it is different. You can go wherever you want. And I do not agree with it because certain schools get bad reputations. No one goes there, and survivorship bias, those schools suffer. But
exactly. And I'm like, it actually, like, for people that do have jobs, they like can't take their kids to the whatever school. So anyway, it definitely creates some inequality that doesn't quite make sense to me that this is a thing currently right now. But anyway, it's beyond the scope of our show.
That'll be for our next podcast, Education Today.
No. I'll be the perfect person to talk about it. Okay.
That'll be great. Yeah, with this house, I've hired some of it out. Like I did the windows, we had a furnace repair, I hired out the landscaping, and that was something you actually encouraged me to do, which I'm super thankful to, our fence. But it's really hard, and where we're at with this house, it's super hard to hire out because it's all this odds and ends thing. Like today, I'm going to cut a piece of granite for a shower ledge, and then I have to put door thresholds in, and then I have to hang a couple doors, and eventually we'll fill in the pool and do landscaping. So it's really difficult to hire people here to begin with, but then to try to hire 10 or 20 different people to do these things would just be an exercise in futility. I think if I could find a good handyman who could do it all, that'd be great. But it isn't easy. So I'll probably end up doing most of this stuff myself, unfortunately. Although if anyone is listening and they want a all expense paid trip to Colorado and can work through some shit, let me know.
I think the other part is because you're going to sell it, you could actually do a 60% job instead of 100% effort because you don't need it to last, right?
Yeah. I can just half-ass everything as long as it lasts through the home sale. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
no, I will not do that.
For any future buyers.
Yeah. Doug, one thought I've had is, and I actually looked at my numbers while I was writing this outline for today, is should we have bought this house in the first place? And if I knew now what I knew today, if I knew what the stock market would have done and what our net worth would be, the answer is clearly no. So we had about one third our net worth in 2019 when we bought the house. So it seemed kind of appealing to buy a fix and flip to ramp that up a little bit more. Yeah, we were kind of there, but maybe on the borderline. But had I known then what I knew today and how much money we would have and how good everything did, I would have bought a finished house and not messed with any of this shit. But here I am.
You could have moved in this neighborhood where it's like brand new houses, super efficient. My basement is cold. I should put a jacket on right now. And for people that are not watching live, this is the first episode that we've recorded remotely. So I'm at my house, Carl's at his house, but it's cool down here. It's a little cold.
I know. I've looked at your house and seen how nice everything is and it's all done. And I felt pangs of jealousy every once in a while. And you live right next to the gym, which is something we're going to talk about. Super good. There are a lot of advantages to your neighborhood, Doug.
Thank you. It is good. We got lucky getting the spot, just the timing worked out. And fortunately and unfortunately, I'm not as handy as you. So I never even thought I could, deal with a fixer-upper. Not my thing. So,
yeah.
Well, speaking of fitness, what is going on with you in fitness?
Yeah, I've decided to finally get my 50-year-old carcass in shape. And this time, I would say it's stuck. A lot of times in the past, I jump onto something and then I'm giving it up like a month later. And my spreadsheet that I created on Google is dead and I never look at it again. But this time, I started working out probably in the spring and I've actually maintained it the whole way. I've been tweaking it all along and I feel super good and want to keep it up. I usually spend at least 2 hours a day on it, which is probably a third of my free time during the day. And when I say free time, I mean time when I'm not helping kids with homework, when I'm just by myself or just with Mindy in the house here. So it takes up a significant amount of time. When I'm at the gym for my weight workouts, it's usually about 2 hours. I just listened to a Brad Baird podcast and he said his workouts are like 10 minutes of actual working out with like 70 minutes of rest or something like that. And I think that's right. So that's what I do. I'm not actually lifting weights for 2 hours. I'm doing a really hard set and then resting for maybe 3 or 4 minutes. But it takes a long time when you do that. And I've thought about trying to optimize it, Doug. Like, I could do my pull-up set in my house. I actually have a pull-up bar mounted on my wall. I could do that here, do some home improvement for 3 or 4 minutes, and then go back and do the pull-ups. And I actually have done that at times, but I think it's a little over-optimization and I don't enjoy it. But it might come to that at some point.
Yeah. I think taking those longer rest breaks, which I think we probably discussed in some previous episode a while back, but I usually did set after set and move from machine to machine really quickly. Not that I was in a hurry, but it was if you're breathing hard, that's a better workout. But as we've learned more and honestly, we probably listen to more podcasts versus like anything else. It's just like taking those rest breaks like is better for hypertrophy and like actually building muscle versus, you know, just breathing hard, which is what we ended up doing.
Yeah. So. And I'm pretty vain. Hypertrophy is everything. I'm actually going to go see our mutual friend, Brad, in Richmond, because he's had some great results. I'm like, hey, Brad, I'm going to be on the East Coast soon on my way to Germany. Do you mind if I stop in and we'll do a workout? So that's how serious I'm taking this. I'm making a pit stop in Richmond to work out with Brad.
Nice. That'll be pretty cool. All right. Well, before we keep going, you know, fitness and sleep go hand in hand. So we got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ghost Bed. And in a recent previous episode, we talked a bunch about sleep. And a couple days ago, I actually was at your house and I snuck downstairs and I laid in your Ghost Bed. And it's a Ghost Bed Classic queen size. And it felt great. I thought it's a bit firmer than what we're used to. So we're going to get a Luxe, actually. And that's the one that's a little bit softer and it has a little bit more cooling mechanism. And we're looking forward to getting that because our current mattress is about time to upgrade. So finally, I was like, all right, I could check out your Classic and see how it goes. But more importantly, how are you sleeping these days? Because the last time that we chatted, you were in a bad way. You were like, I'm hardly sleeping. I'm having like some major issues, like sleeping through the night.
Yeah, I'll back up a second and go back to your Ghost Bed tryout. It was kind of awkward because I come down, I think I went to the refrigerator to get drinks, and you're spread eagle on the bed, completely naked. I'm like, Doug, what is going on here? And you're like, well, this is how I sleep at home, so I need to test it in my natural state. So then I was okay with it, but I did wash everything on hot for an hour and a half after you left.
It definitely surprised me when you came down. I didn't think anyone was coming down, but the thing is, I told you I was going down there, so you obviously knew what was happening. So I was like, hey, what's up with that?
Yeah, I'm like, well, why is the door blockaded? Like, who is, no? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, but as yeah, you know, I was happy to see you when you came.
you were happy to see me. Yeah, by sleep. I've really been trying to work hard on this. I get the bed cool down. You had a good suggestion, like to crank the chili pad all the way down to like 55 or whatever. I think it's just as low. So do that like an hour before bed. So I've been doing that. And I actually put a separate little air conditioner in our bedroom just to keep our room extra cool. The issue with our house is our bedroom's on the second story and it faces south. So it's off in the hottest room in the house. So I really do my best to cool it down. And then what I just did recently was turn on the air conditioner to come on at like 1 a.m. for like an hour. The bad effect of the chili pad is it takes the heat out of the mattress and your body, but it puts it into the air. The heat has to go somewhere. So it has a tendency to heat up the room. So I've done that and I've switched blankets and I've also like stopped drinking. And I'm curious to see if that has an effect and how long it takes. Cause if I drink and not even huge amount, just like two drinks, I sleep like crap. It gets super hot, even worse than usual. I think it takes me like 2 days to recover. Like the next day, my body expects the alcohol. So I don't sleep well that day. And maybe by day 3 or 4, I'm back to normal. So I'm like, I'm just going to stop altogether for the rest of this month and see how I feel after that. Maybe give it at least 2 weeks to see if there's any changes, which I've read that's maybe how long you have to wait for. But yeah, between the heat and everything else, it hasn't been great. And I think that's probably my biggest struggle in life, which is great. If that's your biggest struggle, life is pretty good. But I still need to fix it if I can.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where if it's like a happiness study, right? Where they go around, they're like, hey, are you happy today? And if people are happy, there's like a very high percentage chance that they slept well. And if they're having a bad day, they didn't sleep well. And I think back on days where I was like irritable and grouchy or drank too much coffee and became jittery. It was like, I didn't sleep well the night before. Or it's like the compounding effect of getting like 6 hours per night for like a week or something. And then you're all messed up. It takes another week to recover at our old age now. So
yeah. Sleep changes everything. We've talked about this many times, but it's so important. And like you said, it gets harder as we get older. So it's something that the youth don't have to struggle with.
All right. Well, thanks to Ghostbed, folks can go, you, listener, can go to ghostbed.com/milehighfi to save 50% site-wide. They have a full range of products. So we talked about mattresses. They have a Split King, which if you do research, it actually ends up being like one of the best feature-wise and that best value. So if you do research among other companies, their Split King is super awesome. So it's a king-size bed, but you could raise and lower individually each side. And they have a full range of frames and sheets and pillows. And you and I have one of the pillows. You have one of the mattresses. And I have one that should be on the way before too long. So thanks to Ghostbed. It's a 101-night sleep trial. So you can check it out and see if you dig it. And I think we can move on from here. So thanks to Ghostbed.
Yeah, my next bullet point is I've never been able to give this thing my full effort. Or much effort at all, despite showing up and maybe creating outlines. I've always felt bad about that because I think if we really put effort into it, if we did the emails, solid emails, maybe some a little bit more promotion, it could have been a lot better than it is. Maybe a wider audience, maybe just better all around if I would have been able to have time to edit it. So, and I really hate that. If I don't have time to do something well, I don't want to do it at all. It's tough. You know what I mean? I don't like to half-ass stuff or even three-quarter-ass anything.
Right. Yeah. And I understand. I mean, we do, I think we've gone up and down with the amount of preparation that we do. Normally, most episodes, one of us has prepared a little bit more than the other, which I think is typical as we know a lot of podcasters out there and some people like own the episode and then the other person is kind of along for the ride. Sometimes it's more joint, but I mean, we've recorded a lot of episodes. I'm not sure what we're up to now, but it's, well over 200. And one thing I can't even imagine now, we used to publish 2 episodes per week. Do you remember that?
I do.
It's crazy. So yeah, we mostly focused on just producing the content and not so much on the promotion. And is like with my background in marketing, I see like we're producing a good enough show. So with the amount of effort that we're putting in, I think it's actually pretty good. We get a lot of good feedback. We get a lot of bad feedback, but it's usually not based on it's more that people don't like us versus the quality of the show, which is fair. We're not for everyone. So one thing that we just kind of didn't do was like promoting and trying to like grow the audience. And I chatted with a couple other podcasters in the last couple weeks here. And a couple of them were like, my show's growing. It's because I'm being on other shows. And it's like, that's pretty much the only way to grow a podcast. And it's a slow medium to grow in. Now, one thing that we have talked about a little bit before is like some of the merch and different stuff. And talk just for a second. I'm gonna hand the mic to you. I got to go grab something over here and hold it up, but fill time. Don't let there be dead air.
Okay. I'm kind of curious to hear what Doug is going to hold. I'm a little bit scared. I see him going back to the back of the studio and
I'm back.
It's not what I thought. I thought he was going to grab a shirt or maybe his thong underwear that I saw laying on the floor next to the bed when he tried out the ghost bed.
But I finally got our handheld massagers that you kept asking for with your face just on the tip. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. So for the people that are not watching, I actually got more stickers made and they have little quotes from Office Space. So it says, I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real actual work. This one says, human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles. And the thing is, I got the ones with both of our faces on there. So we have like hundreds of stickers with both our dumb faces on here. So these will be collector's items, except I got so many of them that they're not going to be that rare.
Yeah, if you keep going, you could just take a magic marker and block me out or put a little smiley face in there or something like that.
I think people will like it. I mean, you'll still be around. I was going to say you'll be at FinCon coming up here in a couple of weeks, right?
That is true.
Yeah, yeah. So you're still around somewhere. So people know you. And then I could be like, ah, he used to be the co-host here. All right. So anyway, we got stickers. So when people see me, and we'll distribute them out there, I'm sure people will love it. I also got some other, I made some Longmont stickers, which I'll bring. I'm going to see you at the happy hour coming up in a couple of days, right? So I'll bring those and pass them out. They're pretty fun. So
cool.
All right. Cool. What else do you have?
I guess this goes back to the show a little bit. At first, both of us were actually paying to do this. I remember writing you a check way back when. And now we have a sponsor. Thank you, Ghostbed, so much for paying to help produce this. Yeah, I always thought we would, maybe this is the wrong goal or the wrong way to think about it, and maybe our goals were dissimilar, but I thought we would make some money from this, and we really haven't. I know we've gotten some flack for having ads or our Buy Me a Coffee, but all income has gone back to producing the show, right? Like, we're not getting rich from this.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, I think at the end, I'll probably talk for like 5 minutes, but our show is big enough where actually if we got two more sponsors or so, like it would make enough money to where it would be like, oh, all right, like we could spend time doing this, right? And it's something that I'm considering. However, right, so our ghost bed friend, Rich, he's a good dude. He's a listener of the show. We hung out with him in Cincinnati, and working with other sponsors is more overhead. So it's like there's some back and forth, and it depends on the show and who you're working with and all that stuff. But we would have to go out, or I would have to go out and basically like solicit sponsors and like work doing all that stuff and like make sure that they're happy with the ads and, you know, have a account management type relationship. And that is, it can be okay, but it's like if we don't have to deal with a hassle, then it's easier to not deal with a hassle. So yeah, basically it's not what it could be as far as earning money, but it's a weird thing too, because most shows, not all shows, but a lot of shows do have enough ads on there. Like a lot of the big, really big podcasts, not Brad's, not Choose FI, but a lot of the big podcasts, they'll have like 3, 4, 5 ads like all through the whole show. And it's pretty normal. It's pretty normal. People either skip it or they listen through it because it's somewhat entertaining. So it's a bit of a struggle because a lot of us are, you know, five. We actually don't need the money, but we also have a limited amount of time per day. And if we're like, all right, we're doing all this shit for the podcast and it's like kind of fun, but we're like literally losing money and giving our time away, it's a pretty tough sell.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't think anyone should work for free unless they super enjoy it. Yeah, that's hard. It's difficult to monetize a podcast versus like a blog. And the last point I had on this, Doug, was, yeah, I guess I feel a little bit burned out. And I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on this. I guess there's more people out there to interview, but it seems like FI has kind of had its moment, maybe especially in the blog space. But I wonder how many conversations are left. Like, what else really needs to be said? Has this whole thing run its course? What do you think of that?
I think I appreciate your burnout. You've been blogging for over 10 years, right?
Yep.
And then podcasting, and you're like, you were fairly deeply involved for many years. And I think there's probably still things to say in the same way that, you know, any topic can be like rehashed over and over again. And occasionally there's a new bit of information, but a lot of times it's sort of the same message through a different framing or a little bit of a different filter or from just a slightly different point of view. And if we go look at, you know, podcast titles or YouTube videos, like you see this, it's like rehashing of the same thing over and over again. So I could appreciate the burnout. I get the same thing from my old blog. So Niche Site Project, where I talked about affiliate marketing and SEO. And after about 5 years, I was less interested and I slowly tapered down where I am I'm interested in conversations with people, but I'm not interested in doing those things. So I totally appreciate it. That said, you know, there are like new people finding Phi or Fire, and they're finding your blog, they're finding Pete's blog, and it's like new to them. So I think, you know, hearing podcasts or interviews that are more recent does help them a little bit, just because they're like, oh, this is fresh, this is new, and it's still relevant, even though, you know, maybe an episode from Choose FI that's like 6 years old, it's like totally still relevant, but maybe some of the reference points are a little bit older in that episode. So,
yep. Cool. We'll move along here. I'll go over this next part pretty quickly. Just other changes I've made in my life. As we alluded to, fitness is my absolute priority. I don't give up my workouts for anything. I even bring my equipment on road trips and do things like push-ups and other exercises at the Tesla charging station, which is hugely embarrassing to the rest of my family, but I don't care. I'm going to maintain my fitness routine, and everyone else is just looking at their phone anyway, so they're not looking at me. I was looking at my Southwest account, and we have 6 more trips planned, which is anxiety inducing. I'm kind of, I'm sick of the whole travel thing. So we're going to try to cut out all travel. Like next summer, we're going to stick around Longmont for the most part. It just gets tedious after a while. I'm trying to make time in my day to do nothing. And I devote one day every week to hiking. Like I think tomorrow, I'll probably hit up Rocky Mountain National Park, go up to the Keyhole and back. I probably won't make it to the top of Longs, but it's really nice and a good reset just to be out in nature, not even have my headphones on. Just sit there and walk and be alone with your thoughts, I think is super cool.
You going tomorrow?
Thursday? Yeah, I think so.
Do you like to go solo? I was going to say, like, I potentially can go. We'll talk about it later, but I was like, I almost hiked to the Keyhole a couple days ago because I'm trying to get... Anyway, we'll talk about it later, but we'll leave this in because people like the realness of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you hike, do you prefer to hike alone or just depends on the day?
It depends on the day and the person, I guess. Sometimes I like to be alone with my thoughts. Yeah.
You're like, no, Doug. No, you go ahead.
Yeah, it depends. It depends what's going on with me at the moment. Sometimes I like I start the hike with a thought and then focus on that through the whole hike and see if I can come to any resolution by the end of the hike. And a lot of times that works. It's great just to be out there and not have any other distraction.
I like the, you know, just one day out in the wilderness and just away from, you know, I mean, you and I walk a lot around our neighborhoods and town and stuff like that, but like being away from sidewalks and like straight lines and stuff is very peaceful. And I think there's probably something to that, to be around trees and all that stuff.
Yeah. Not having cars roaring past you, breathing exhaust fumes, honking, all that.
So when we started the show, and I encourage people to go back to the first episode when we were much younger, I actually had a full head of hair about 4 years ago. And we talked about our goals for the show. And you mentioned a couple, and you had some notes about positive things from the show. And I think one of them, you were just like, I want to improve my speaking a little bit. And I think you really have. I think if people go back, you have, and you've done a lot of public speaking as well in front of huge audiences over the past few years. So yeah, what else about the show has been good?
Yeah, that part has been really good. I notice that I pay much more attention to the way I speak. Often I talk too fast and don't enunciate when I don't pay attention. So that has improved. We've had some really good experiences with other people as a result of the show. It's a lot easier to go into a social situation like an economy or a FinCon when people already know who you are. You feel like you're not starting from zero. And I feel like we've made some lifelong friends who we might not see frequently because they don't live here, but we see them whenever they pass through town or we see them when we go back to these events. So that might be the best thing. And I think we've had some super fun conversations. We've had some great people on the show. Like Bob Haynes sticks out as one of my favorites. BJ cracked me up. He's a great guy. One of those friends that we'll probably run into again over the years. So yeah, it's been super fun. And our screwing around, like a lot of these funny moments we have during the podcast. It's we're witty, Doug. We didn't write that stuff down. We didn't think about it ahead of time. We come up with this stuff on the fly because we've got that kind of talent.
It is talent. I like how it'll be an extremely dry conversation, and then one of us will come out with something completely absurd, and that feels pretty good. Yeah, that's the biggest laughs that I have during the show. And sometimes I listen back. I don't listen to all the shows, but I probably should go back and listen for, you know, critical improvement and all that stuff. But yeah, when I listen back and I laugh, I'm like, oh, that was actually pretty funny. I don't remember us saying that. So, yeah. All right. Well, people are probably wondering, is a show coming out next week? The answer is yes. I'm going to keep going with the show. And I don't have a fully formed thought around it. I have some idea about what I might do. One good thing, there have been some good guest hosts that helped me out in the past. Amberly Grant, Dusty Young. There's a few other people that have like frequently recorded with me. And the other part is there's like a ton of people that live here in town in Longmont that I can lean on. So my initial plan is to have a few guest hosts come in. I need to maybe call in a couple favors from a few people as well. But I think I'm actually hopefully going to chat with Brad a little bit because, you know, he went from, you know, co-hosting with Jonathan over at Choose FI to a solo run show where they could, you know, focus on the things they want to work on. And, you know, in that case, I was like, oh, you know, I potentially can learn from what he's done. And then there's Maggie at, oh, shoot, I forget her new show. It used to be Friends on Fire, but she's recorded with me a couple times. And, you know, there are people where it's like the show runs its course. One of the partners wants to go do something else. And the other person wants to keep recording. So I'm going to keep going with this. And I think, I mean, we get tons of good feedback. We actually got an email yesterday, Carl, from someone about the episode from yesterday. And it's like, this is my favorite show. It's the best show in the DeFi space. So you're leaving a big hole in your seat. That's a super weird way for me to say that. There's going to be a void in front of the microphone, but I'll try to, you know, do my best to get someone to fill in, and, you know, we'll do interviews and stuff like that. Now, do you have any ideas for me? Do you have any tips for me?
Ooh, yeah. I did not anticipate this question because I wasn't quite sure where you or we were going to go with it. I think it's a great idea. I'll back up a second and say it makes me happy to see it continuing on. You're very good at the interviews. I think a show where you continued to talk to people. I'm thinking out loud right now. Like, there's some shows where people can just talk alone, and I think that's a pretty big talent, and I think that's kind of difficult. Would you anticipate yourself ever doing something like that, or just you having a conversation with yourself, I guess?
Potentially. I don't think it would be the majority of the episodes. I'm happy to, you know, change up formats. In my other show, The Doug Show, is probably 50-50 solo and interviews. So for some crazy fucking reason, I can have a conversation with myself for about 1 hour and people listen to it. So I can do it, but I do appreciate that the listeners that we do have for this show, they are used to having conversations. So I will probably stick to that primarily. I just talked to Jesse Kramer, and interview should be coming out with him fairly soon, but he mentioned that sometimes he'll do an interview on his show, Best Interest, and that's what it's called, right? Best Interest?
Yeah.
I think so. So he'll do an interview, but he'll also have like a 10-minute monologue or something like that. So I may mix it up and see what's going on, but it depends on, you know, how much time and what's going on and, you know, a number of other things. But I appreciate your compliment on the interviews. It's something I have worked on a lot over the past 5 years of podcasting. So I think I do have I have more skills than I did when I started.
Cool. Yeah. And I will be around to support you if you needed to. Lean on me for something. I'll be around. I think I had just to be clear, this is not the only thing I'm eliminating. I heard someone say this, if you've got a lot of shit going on, like try to take away everything possible and slowly add back. So I'm kind of curious to see where my thoughts are in like 3 months from now. And hopefully I've got a lot of this stupid work on the house behind me at that point.
Right.
Yeah. All right. But I'm glad to hear it's going to continue on.
And we got to wrap it up. I know we had a stop we were going to aim for, which we're at, but I'm going to say a couple things really quick. So number one, I appreciate your support, Carl. I hope I can convince you to come and join me for maybe like once a quarter or something like that to pop in. Maybe I have to go and like shovel dirt at your house or whatever kind of bullshit work you're doing that day and hand a microphone to you. And then we'll just record as we're talking and hammering or whatever. And then the other part is people should be able to still find you, you know, online-ish, right? Are you still continuing on with many of your other pursuits online?
Yeah, the blog, I was thinking about that. I don't do it nearly as often, but I do have this 10-year bet with this dividend growth investor guy online. And that has like 3 years and 3 months left to go. So the blog will remain up as long, at least that long. But yeah, they could find me there, 1500days.com. And yeah, I'm not sure where else in the near future, at least.
All right. Well, sounds good, Carl. I think it's just, hopefully it'll just be a pause. And I mean, we're still friends personally, so I don't think we'll shut down the rumors now. So yeah, I'm going to see you in a couple days at a happy hour and we have plans to hang out. So there's no beef between us.
No. And are you still going to go to FinCon, Doug?
Yes. Yes, I am. Cool.
I learned that I wasn't sure about economy. I didn't think I'd bought tickets, but we actually had one. They had tickets. So I think we'll end up going to that as well.
Cool. Did you get the Fairfield rooms?
Yeah, we actually did.
All right. Great. Awesome. Well, I think that's it for now. Thanks, Carl.
I'll see you Friday, if not before.
All right. Take it easy, man.
Okay. See you, Doug. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. That was the Mile High Five podcast, and I'm Doug Cunnington, the Balder host, and Carl Jensen is the cool, sexy one. If you dig the show, please do three things for us. Number one, tell a friend, a family member, an enemy about the show. We really don't care who you tell. Maybe forward them a specific show that you know that they will like. It's the single most helpful thing that you can do to spread the word. It's like giving us a virtual high five, and actually we don't give high fives in person, so the virtual kind's pretty good. And more importantly, your friend or family member or even your enemy will appreciate the fact that you were thinking of them. Number two, make sure you're following or subscribed on your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, YouTube, whatever you're using, and that way you won't miss a show. And number three, please leave us a rating and review. We read them on the show occasionally, and you might hear yours out there on an upcoming episode. Quick disclaimer, this show is not financial or legal advice. I'd actually be surprised if it sounded like it. It's really just for entertainment, and that's at least what we're hoping for. But seriously, get advice from professionals. Carl and I are just two guys with microphones that sit in my basement and talk. So we'll catch y'all next week. Right. So I've been hiking a little bit more recently because we're going to do Elbert next week. We're heading to Leadville. So it's been pretty fun. What hike did we do? It was Green Mountain in Boulder the other day, which we did not too long ago. Do you remember that one?
Was I actually there for that one? I think that might have been one of the ones I was not there for because I don't remember it.
I think I have a picture of you with us. I think it's the one where you drank the Monster Energy drink. Rory was there and like everyone was much faster than you and I.
Yeah, that was me. No, I was slow. Give yourself credit, Doug. I am always the caboose in these things. Yeah, that was a great hike.
Yeah, pretty. It was very steep. So it was like good training. And we lucked out with the weather. So it looked sunny like all through the plains and the valley, but in the foothills, it was cloudy. It was cloudy like directly over us. So it never got too hot. Really nice. It was a Monday too. So it was like super quiet, super chill. But the dumbest thing, I almost never do this, I forgot my fucking backpack. So I had like water, I put snacks in there from the day before. So we're like 10 minutes down the road and it's kind of during rush hour. And I was like, oh no, I forgot my backpack. So I was like, let's just keep going. Like, it's not that long of a hike. So we just stopped by the grocery store and I picked up like a bag of nuts and some Gatorade. And I'm like, I'll just go without, I'll be fine. And it was totally fine. Like Elizabeth brought a little extra water. So that was good.
Okay, so back up a second. This one you're doing next week, isn't that the tallest one in the state? Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. Elbert is the tallest one. Yep.
Okay, I've heard that one is a grind. Like it's not technical, but it's very long and tough. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, long and tough. And you said that phrase to me before about something else. And the thing is with, Elbert is the second highest mountain in the lower 48. And I think it's about 10 miles, but what I'm finding on most of the hikes that I'm going on, it's like I'm walking or my trackers are showing like 10% longer. So like the hike that we did on Monday, Green Mountain, it was supposed to be like 6 miles and it was like 7.2. And I'm like, we're not like going way off trail. I don't know what it is. And anyway, so yeah, it's about 10 miles. It'll take a little while.
Is exaggerating length a frequent theme with you, Doug?
Constantly. Yeah.
I think all guys do it.